morning, everybody. Welcome to the adult discussion Sunday school class at Wings Christian Fellowship. Today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Clive, would you lead us in a word of prayer to get us going?
Father, we just wait on you with the Holy Spirit, Lord, to lead and guide us into all truth. And Father, we lift the name of Jesus high and above all. We thank you for your presence here today, and help us not to lean into our own understanding, but into yours. So, Father, we wait on you. Be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'd like to just read 7. Yeah, Mike, what have you got there to read?
I got this light Bible.
Yeah, our Amplified folks are gone. Does anybody else have the Amplified?
I don't have my phone with me today.
That's okay.
For some reason, I forgot
to
put it in my pocket.
God knows what
I normally have it.
No, I got King James and J.B. Phillips.
Well, Mike, why don't you read out of what you've got? And then Clive, when he's done, open up your J.B. Phillips and let's kind of just take a look at that.
Okay.
I'd love to get two or three different translations out.
Good.
Okay, you want me to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Mm-hmm. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work.
Is that through chapter 7?
Verse 7.
I'm sorry, verse 7.
You want me to read 7 too?
Yeah, 7 too.
Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because in some of my Bibles, there is a new heading going forward. And then it says, after that, it says the varieties of spiritual gifts. So I think we'll probably only get this far today because there's a lot in there. Clive?
That's what I was going to say. I was reading the King James, and mine's got under a heading right under chapter 12. Test the Spirit's control.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very,
sensitive.
Very well put.
Yes.
I think that our concern should be to test the spirits, try the spirits. I mean, that's that.
And mine says in verse 1, this Passion Bible, it says, my fellow believers, I don't want you to be confused about spiritual realities. That's a good one, too.
That's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, you want to read it in J.B. Phillips?
Okay, and this one's got a title. It says, the Holy Spirit inspires men's faith and imparts spiritual gifts. Now, my brothers, I want to give you some further information in spiritual matters. You have not forgotten that you are Gentiles, following dumb idols just as your impulses led you. Now, I want you to understand as Christians that no one speaking by the Spirit of God would say a curse on Jesus, and no one could say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And, this is not numbered, so you have, and it says men's different gifts, but is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. I love that. God works through different men in different ways, but it is the same God who achieves his purposes through them all. The Spirit openly makes his gift to each man so that he may use it for the common good. I think that is a vital importance for the body of Christ to hear that. First of all, he uses the same Spirit different ways with different men. I mean, you know, some, I notice this. Now, this might be really simple, but this is what I notice. I notice a simple thing. When a baby cries, the first one to hear it is the mother. But she's also the first one to feel it, the baby inside of her. But I think that this is more like, goes on to the thing of Romans, the 8th chapter, where it talks about their groanings and moanings going on. And, you know, they're in travail until a certain time. You guys have been speaking about the time. Right. But anyway, listen, can I read on just a little bit?
Why, sure.
It said, one man's gift by the Spirit is to speak with wisdom, another to speak with knowledge. Mm-hmm. Two different things. The same Spirit gives to another man faith, to another the ability to heal. Oh, I like this. To another, the use of spiritual powers. You know, I mean, come on. We've seen them come and go, and we've seen people come in with different types of faith and different leading. And we've seen some of them come into a place to where they were, I've talked to Oscar about this a little, they were like giving us something as though we had not heard it already. And that's bold for us. Matter of fact, I'm using the word bold. That's it is a form of arrogance for us to think that, you know, Oscar, and then we're talking about kids out there a while ago, and some younger kids telling you what you don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, the only one available to that is me, because there's a lot of stuff I don't know. But the whole thing is, I am impressed with as we depend upon the Holy Spirit, how the body of Christ works in a more functional way and doesn't want to choose and doesn't choose to run interference over one another. But will basically wait, listen, try to take in the knowledge or wisdom, or from their point of view. And their point of view might have had all kinds of experiences that I've never known, you know. It's just like I told Oscar, I wouldn't hesitate. I mean, I wouldn't even begin to explain what he knows or about machinery. But I had that same thing happen to me in the color world. I make color all the time. Sure. And have somebody come out there, well, that's not how that works. And been working for me for over 20 years. Yeah. You know, but I seen right then, I realized they weren't going to accept the way we were doing it, which is okay. There is other ways to do things. But I think with the body of Christ, that's one of us really leaning not into our own understanding and seeing God's wisdom in another way. He's showing us things. The whole thing, what's it say? It tells us, let him that hath the Spirit have ears to hear what the Spirit says. And I think that's what we need to be keen on, is hearing what the Spirit says. Brother Shepherd was really good at that. Mm-hmm. He said, somebody will come up to you. The Lord will use somebody to come up to you and start talking to you. And this really did happen to me. And he says, and he'll say, wait a minute, stop. And you'll tell the person to stop. And then you'll go like this. Get to the point. They're all the way around it, but they're not to what they want. And when they said that, they stopped, got immediately to the point. And then you go, and I thought that was the Lord showing me. He goes like this, because, you know, people get nervous. I shouldn't say it like that, but they get nervous when they're public speaking and stuff like that. And they lose their train of thought. And when they look out there and the crowd inspires them because they said something, you know, I mean, I remember when we had a couple come to Wings of Deliverance years ago, I think it was their first time here, and come and sit in the very front row. And Brother Eddie was preaching, and he started into the word, and I'm not kidding you. It was about 5 minutes. They were on the edge of their seats. I seen them. They were patting each other, and they're going, what was coming out of his mouth was something that they had never heard before. But it was like the Spirit was just drawing them up there. And it was a great thing to see that, because, you know, those that have been with us for such a long time might have been thinking, oh, you know, same old thing. I love to see when it's not the same old thing. When people that come in and they're waiting for fresh air, and all of a sudden that breeze, what, the wind moved, the Holy Spirit came upon them. I'm going, ooh, this is good. But that's, and I don't have no problem not knowing something. My problem is I want to hear the Spirit of God so much. It's okay. I'm almost willing to accept anything. I believe God works through broken vessels. What's it say? He gives grace to the He gives grace to the humble, and he's not too good with the proud. I mean, he's not too kind toward the proud.
Yeah.
But a broken vessel. Oh, I'll shut up.
You know, I was just thinking, you know, a lot of times people, they sort of misquote the scripture in the Old Testament where Solomon, you know, was getting ready to become king, and the Lord basically asked him, you know, basically told him to ask anything he wanted to, basically what it amounted up to. And he asked for understanding, not wisdom.
Right.
People think he asked for wisdom, but he really didn't. He asked for understanding that he might go in and out amongst such a great people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's humble there. I mean, you're going to be king, and you're talking about how great the people are. You know
right.
what I mean? And that's humility. And he asked for understanding. And you know, when you come to realize that wisdom comes through understanding, that's how you get wisdom, because you experience things and you understand what happened and why it happened and so on and so forth. And that was one of the things that I always did when I trained people, you know, to do machining. It was more important for me to teach them to know why they were doing what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
rather than to show them how to do something. Because if they understood why they were doing it, they wouldn't forget to do it.
Right.
Because it was a very important part of what they were going to be doing. And when you think about that, and then you think about, you know, even what it says in Hebrews, where it says, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, you know, it talks about, you know, hearing being the word of God, and faith is the substance of right. things hoped for. And that word for substance is the word hypostasis. And hypostasis is a Greek word that means to sit down under, or to understand, mm-hmm. or to to sit down under. It can be translated either way. And what does it say? And I can't remember the number of the psalm, but he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty, you know. And it's being underneath something, you know. And that's when you understand something, you stand underneath that. You know that that's something that needs to be done, or whatever it is. And when we come to the place where God gives us understanding, then wisdom comes with that, because then we know how to apply what is needed in a situation, in a circumstance. And, you know, the worst thing that a person can ever do is think that they know everything. Like Clyde was saying, we've had ministers come in here that were arrogant. Actually, because they were very versed in the scriptures and they knew a lot of things, but they actually had an arrogance about them. And you know, any time that you start thinking you know all every know it all, you're in trouble. You're gonna miss so many things. And you know, I can tell you that I trained a guy one time, and I mean, I think I might have told this story before. I trained a guy one time. And he came in, and boy, he had an attitude. I mean, boy, he had an attitude. He come in there, and you know, I would tell him how to do something. I'd say, well, you need to do this and this, because this is for this, and I'd explain why I'm supposed to do it. So I don't think I want to do it that way. I want to do it like this. I'd say, there's a reason I'm telling you to do it like this. I said, because if you do some other way, you're liable to have a direct this machine, you know. Well, he just wouldn't listen to me. So I said, okay, do it the way you want to do it. And I stepped back and watched him wreck the machine.
That's the teacher.
And you know what? And I told him, I said, now do you see why I told you? I said, I'm trying to save you from this happening to you, you know. God, you don't get killed when that happens in a shop. You know, you
fly off.
You blow up something. I mean, I ran IG grinder at Wiley's a lot of times down there. And the wheel head that had grinding wheels on it turned 12,000 RPMs.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. And I had some that turned even more, like 30-something thousand RPMs. But I had a pretty good-sized wheel on there, and I had just put it on there. And I would tell them guys, because when you first put a wheel on there, it's out of balance. It's not in balance. And you got to dress it with a diamond to get it in balance, you know, to get it smooth and running smooth and all that.
Running true.
And I would tell them guys, I'd say, when I put a brand new wheel on, move out of the line of where
that's
that
right,
wheel is.
That's right.
I said, because sometimes they have a crack in them. And you know, if it's a certain kind of wheel, you can tap it and it'll make a funny noise if it doesn't ring, you know, if it's a, mm-hmm. if it's a, like an OD wheel or something like that. But some wheels you can't do that with. And I'd tell them guys, and I told Bert and them one time, and Bert was running a machine like right in line with where that wheel was, you know, and he was all the way on the other side of the shop. And I put that, I turned that on, and what I would do when I'd first turn them wheels on, because you learn to do this, you know, this was something that you don't turn it on, you turn it off and on, mm-hmm. and you start dressing it down to get that run out of it, to get the bounce out of it. Well, I was doing that, and I had to bounce out of it, and I turned it on, and it had a crack in it, and I didn't know that. You can't see it or anything. It busted, and it went all the way across the shop. And we
right
had
where
metal,
was that?
We had steel, like corrugated steel on the inside of the walls, because there was like insulation behind that. And I mean, it was corrugated steel, and it was probably that thick, you know, it was probably, you know, maybe an eighth inch, 16th inch thick, something like that. Well, that wheel flew, the piece of that wheel flew across the shop and hit that steel and put a big dent in that steel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if he'd been standing there, it would have killed him. He was a little bit off to the left. And, you know, I'd tell him, guys, I'd say, I'm getting ready to dress a wheel.
You see all of a sudden they spread
scatter,
out.
Buddy. Hey, get the heck out of there. I say, I'll tell you when I'm done, you know. Because the way it was, I was standing off to the side when I would do it, you know, because
right.
I'm standing over here where the controls are, and the wheel's out here in front of me, you know. But, you know, it doesn't take long for people, you know, when you have the knowledge of you know what's going to happen, you know, you tell people to try to give them the understanding of why they need to do something. Well, you know what? I never had to tell them again.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They'd get the heck out of there. And then I'd say, I'm going to dress this wheel.
Boom.
Ooh, they were gone, you know. But you know, the thing about it is that even with God sometimes we're kind of stupid at times, you know, in the sense that God will let us know something, and then we'll turn around and go opposite of what we know we should do. You know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep.
Well, it's like that time when he said to him, I've set before you life and death. Choose life, he said. You know, why would you not choose life? I mean, you know, and it's like Peter, when he said to Peter, he said, will you go away too? When he started teaching the deep things, and he said, well, Lord, where can I go? You have the words of life, you know, I can't go nowhere else, you know. And but at least Peter was smart enough, or wasn't so into himself that he didn't answer the Lord right. And if you'll notice in the scriptures, and I will say this just to help with understanding, in the scriptures, any time that one of the prophets had an encounter with God, and he spoke to an angel or the Spirit of the Lord or whatever you want to call it, you know, and they would say, don't you know this? And a lot of times when people will say that to you in the natural, because you'll want them to think that you're really intelligent and you really understand it. Oh, yeah, I know that. You know, I knew that for a long time. You know, people will say that. that's that ego thing that rises up in you. But always those prophets would say, Lord, I don't know. And like when he said to Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? And what did he answer? Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, I know. He said, you know. Mm-hmm. Thou knowest. You know. And that's the smart thing when you're dealing with God, is not act like you know something that you don't know. Because if you act like you know it, then you won't get the answer. At least not right then, you won't. You know. But, you know, that's the neat thing about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, everybody, they're given to all people. And like Clive was saying, we've had people come in here that literally they had an arrogant attitude, you know. And, you know, I had one guy come in and he asked me how this church operated. And I told him, I said, well, you know, we believe in body ministry and we're trying to grow the people up. And, you know, I try to get them where they can get up there and minister sometimes. I said, because I don't know everything, you know. And I said, we need input from the whole body, you know. And, you know, he said, oh, my gosh, you got to be careful about that. You know, and all this. And I said, well, I said, I'm not worried about that. I said, the only time that I had where, you know, I had one time where a brother came to me and he says, this brother came into the Sunday school class, and I'll be quiet in just a minute. He came into the Sunday school class, and he said, this brother in the church came up to me, and he said, Oscar, be careful. That guy, he always creates a scene, and he always does this and always does that. And I told the brother, I said, brother, I said, I'm not worried about that. I said, this is not my Sunday school class. Mm-hmm. I said, this Sunday school class belongs to the Lord. And I said, I'm not worried about that at all. And you know, he behaved himself, didn't do anything. That brother got up to speak about a week or so later. Guess who that guy came against? Him. And what's that scripture say? The thing I feared the most did what?
Came upon me.
You can't operate in fear. You can't operate in that vein. You have to operate in faith, knowing that God's in control of this stuff. And if you don't know that, then you're going to struggle way more than you need to, you know what I mean? But anyway, understanding is tremendous. And like I say, that a lot of people they'll misquote that scripture back in the Old Testament, because they'll say, oh, Solomon asked for wisdom. And Solomon was one of the wisest men ever. He didn't ask for wisdom. He asked for understanding, that he might come in and go out among such a great people. Mm-hmm. And God said, because you have asked for this.
All right.
Instead of great riches and all that, he said, I'm going to give you the rest of it. It's basically what he told him, and he did, you know. But then what happened with Solomon? The Lord told him, when you come into the land, that they told him this way back, he said, when you come into the land and you reject me as being king, is basically what he said in the scriptures. And he says, see that you don't take to yourself horses and wives.
Did just the opposite.
And they did just the opposite. Yeah. They absolutely did. And why was that? Because when they took a bunch of wives, they had wives that were of other nations, and they brought in all kind of heresy and everything else. And Solomon, to get along, he went along with a lot of it, see. And boy, that was his big downfall, you know. And he also built up his kingdom. I mean, people don't realize that when David passed away, they had dumps around the city where they dumped silver and gold and precious metals. I mean, imagine that. Imagine driving down the road by a junkyard and seeing big piles of gold and big piles of silver and stuff like that. But God had just blessed so tremendously, you know. And everything that was needed to build the temple and to do all the stuff they needed to do was there. You know, and Lebanon gave them all the wood and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff, and just donated it, you know. And I don't think they even had to buy it, you know. But God is our source and our supply, you know. And you know, Solomon was a wise man, but, you know, Solomon's end, what didn't end as wise as what it started, you know, because he did that some of the two key things that the Lord told him not to do, you know.
Hey, Kathy, in J.B. Phillips in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, just let me read. Now, faith means that we have full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see.
Right.
Anyway, it was this faith that won their reputation for the saints of old, and it is only by faith that our minds accept as fact that the whole universe was formed by God's command, that the world which we can see has come into being through what is the invisible. My gosh, that's a great word.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, you know, the things we hope for. Of course, that's probably why I love that scripture, calling those things that aren't as though they are. I believe God smiles at us when we do that.
Right.
I mean, we're doing it in faith. He goes, there you go. Calling those things out of the individual into invisible, into the present.
Right.
I mean, I think that's how God's bringing us along. I mean, you know, all those that have gone, I keep on thinking of that thing, that all those that have gone before us, people got, they haven't taken in the word, where the word will change you. All those that have gone before us are in a place that are waiting for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
It says, when it says that those, if you be first, you'll be last, and the last shall be first. I almost see that completed already. I mean, in Christ, we have our being. We move, we breathe, and have our being. In Christ. And that's how important it is to be in Him. Because like Oscar's been teaching, in Him, and He's in you, and you're in Him. I think that's a joint thing, where it's oneness. You know, it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And I think that is where God wants us to come to. And if we do that in the body of Christ, we shouldn't be surprised how God moves and how He blesses. And, because I don't see God the God of wrath. I see Him. Years ago, I told my brother, I said, you do know that we're going to get the same thing. He goes, what? I said, yeah. I said, you know, it's not he that worketh, but he that believeth. And, you know, talking to him in the area where he's at, I got to be careful with that, because I'm not trying to discourage that.
No.
But, I mean, I know that over the years, we have seen people come and be part of us and said, being honest with you, well, why did God send me to the mission field, if that's the case? Well, I want to tell you something. God will send somebody to the mission field, and they'll think, which they shouldn't, but they'll think, I'm doing a great work with these people. But the reason they went to the mission field was God had to work out something in them.
In them, right. That's what it is usually.
That's no lie. He had to work out something in them. And until they get it, it's more important just to be obedient. This is where the body should work, so function. God is more interested in obedience is better than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, many members, you know, have gone away or have left. I'm talking about even left the earth. And I wasn't shocked. God will not allow to go against God and remain here on earth.
Right.
That's against His work, and that ain't going to happen. He will say, okay, I'm giving you this. Like He said, choose life or choose death. And then He had to turn around and tell them, choose life. I believe we're living in a day where we've seen that. And they chose death. Well, when you choose death, you get to leave. Oh, okay.
You know, there's a scripture in Amplified of what you just read before, and one of the things that it says in there is that faith is the title deed.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's
title
good.
Deed. When you own the title deed to something, you got it.
Right.
And you know, the funny thing is that there's another scripture that says, where there's no vision, my people perish, or my people perish for lack of vision, you know. And I things of the natural a lot of times declare the things of the spirit if you really are observing things. Mm-hmm. And they had this story on television this morning about the guy who started the dollar store, you know. And he worked for his mom in a small retail store she had, but he had this vision of starting a store and putting it where people who didn't have any money could get things really cheap, you know, who had very little money. And I'll tell you, you go to the dollar store, it's not just people who don't have money. Everybody goes to the dollar store. Everybody loves that store. But anyway, the funny thing about it is it said, you know, he had the vision of that, mm-hmm. you know, basically right. is what they were telling. And he said he started one, and then he started another one, and then another one, and another one. And they showed him, and he was about 60 or 70 something years old, I think it was, almost 80 or something like that. And they sold the stores. They had hundreds of them all over the country. And they said he sold the stores for so many billions of dollars, you know, sold to a Dollar General or somebody else, mm-hmm. you know. And he said, and they said, and then he started taking the money and like helping hospitals build new wings and doing, you know, all the money that right. he made. He was actually putting it back out into helping people and stuff. And you know, the thing about it is that's where the vision, there has to be a vision. And you have to determine what is your vision in God, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, the one brother you was talking about that went to the mission fields, you know. Mm-hmm. His vision was he was going to go to Africa and get a bunch of people saved. Well, he probably learned more about himself than he learned about those people over there, because a lot of those people, it's just that they didn't know about Jesus, and once they knew about Jesus, they either receive him or reject him, whichever they did. But, you know, what does the scripture say? No man can come unto me except what?
God draws.
Father drawing. Yeah. So you didn't do anything anyway,
right.
other than you just shared what God told you to share. You know, you can't take credit for any of that, you know. And, you know, but so many times, you know, it's like people have to put their stamp on everything, you know.
I like this. And I love the footnotes in this Bible.
Yeah.
Because it's really good. Spiritual gifts have become symbols of spiritual power, causing rivalries because some people think they are more spiritual than others. This was a terrible misuse of spiritual gifts because their purpose is always to help the church function more effectively, not divided. We can be divisive if we insist on using our gift our own way without being sensitive to others. We must never use gifts as a means of manipulating others or serving our own self-interest.
You know what happens when that happens? What happens is they have forgotten where the gift came from. You know, it's just like Christ came into you to build a temple in you. Right. You are, well, the scripture says we are the temple of God.
The temple, right.
But have you ever come into a place where it was empty? I mean, we could say this building for one. You come into a place where it's empty and there's nothing going on. Well, that's not the temple that God's doing in you. That's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. He will consume that temple to magnify him and glorify him, so the body of Christ can know he's come and he still is here. I know, you know, Jesus, the natural Jesus, left and he prepared a place for us. But what happened? He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans, remember? And what did they find out? They found out he that took his place, which was the Holy Spirit, as long as they were obedient and flowing to that,
yeah.
was just the same as the one Jesus that was here. Mm-hmm. So in one instance, you know, he left, but yet he didn't. And I still think, because I tell people, I said, this way I see it. And they say, what? I said, when Jesus calls your name, My brother said that to me. He said, he called my name, and then he whispered, this is the last time I'm doing it. My brother got saved that day. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? The fear of the Lord brings about, you know, a good thing. And I told him, I said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And he said, that's the only time I ever heard that. Mm-hmm. I said, you know why? He said, what? I said, you were in a place in him, whether you knew it or not, you were in a place in him that this is what he wanted you to hear. Yeah. Now, I believe God's real in everything. I mean, you know, he just didn't, he created heaven and earth and everything that there is upon. And when that kid out in California stood up in his class, he's a junior in class, and says, can I make an announcement? They said, yeah. He said, in the beginning, and he started quoting the scripture, but then he said, and God made man and made woman. And then he goes like this, and that's all he made. Well, they told him he had to stand up again and say, refuse what he had just said, because they were in a place to where now some of the teachers who were, I don't know whether they were female and they're wanting to be male, and they're male and wanting to be female. And they expelled him for his, I said, got expelled. Well, he got expelled for the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right.
He came back the next day and they had him arrested because he wouldn't get up and say, no, that's not right. But that's the world we're living in.
Absolutely.
But you know what? Doesn't it say, be not of the world?
That's right.
And I've overcome the world.
Good cheer, because I've overcome the world.
Well, that's just what this said. They're manipulating.
Yeah.
They're manipulating your thoughts.
Well, and Scripture says, woe be it unto you when all men speak good of you.
Right.
They're not going to speak good of you. They're going to say you're a hypocrite, you're this, you're that. They're going to say all kinds of things about you. You know, that's one thing that we have to come to realize. You can't be a people pleaser. You have to be a God pleaser. And you know, no matter what the world says, you have to go with what the Lord says. You know what I mean? And the educational system and all that stuff out there, that's not the answer. They've been telling people. They've been telling you that's the answer for years and years and years. Get more educated and society will be better. Yeah. That's not true.
Oh my goodness, it's the opposite.
It's just the opposite, you're right. Because a lot of times...
the things they are teaching to our children.
Right.
And they're finding that out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it says here, and the other thing it says, anyone can claim to speak but for God, and the world is full of false teachers. Paul gives us a test to help discern whether or not a messenger is really from God. Does he or she confess Christ as Lord? Don't naively accept the words of all who claim to speak for God. Test your credentials, but find out what they teach about Christ.
You know, one of the first things I learned was that we should try the spirits.
Yeah.
And people go, I don't know if they don't really want to know the truth, but I believe the truth will keep you free. I mean, you know, when the kids were small, I go like this, you know, you tell me that you broke that man's, whatever it was, window or whatever. I said, we'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I said, but if you lie about it, I said, I got to bring some attention to you changing your ways. I said, because in the truth, we actually, he is the truth. That Spirit of God is the truth. And if we remain in that, we'll be free. I mean, we won't hesitate to stand up and say, yeah. Haven't you ever seen somebody come up to somebody and say, you know, I need to apologize to you. I said, it was an accident, but I broke it. Mm-hmm. I broke it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, that should flood our souls with the fact that somebody admitted something happened. Mm-hmm. And they took responsibility for it. Now, if that's not maturing and growing up, I don't know what is. A lot of times people don't want to hear it. Oh, don't tell me that. But I was going to tell you, the Lord dealt with me probably the same week when I was 18 years old when I got saved. That same week. That's one of the first things I heard him tell me about. He said, I want to teach you how to try the spirits. Mm-hmm. And says, see if they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Mm-hmm. He said, if they hesitate or want to trip over something, or they jokingly, oh yeah, I believe that. He goes like this. He said, don't follow them. He goes like this, don't follow them. They're in it for like somebody to follow them. But the truth is, and I'm thinking about Brother Eddie a lot, because I've seen Brother Eddie down at 318 Maple Street in Elmwood Place convince the shop right next to us, Jerry Toole, convince all those people over there what a great Jesus we have. Them guys, one would sit over there and eat with him. They'd bring him a sandwich. Say, here, Brother Eddie, I'm going to eat with you. And they'd sit on the porch and they'd fellowship. Why? Because they hungered and thirst for what he had. They wanted what he had. And I knew a lot of guys that worked there over the years. I mean, I knew some of them since I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. Just over and over, and I knew them. But the whole thing was, I never seen them disrespect or let anybody disrespect Brother Eddie. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in the world, whether it be a machine shop or whatever it is, and you're doing that, a lot of people want to hide what they feel. Mm-hmm. But all these guys were just like, Brother Eddie, Brother Reverend Wilson. I mean, you know, all the things that he really didn't want to be known by. But the whole thing was, they loved him. They loved him.
Well, see, a lot of people think that you have to, that as being a Christian, you have to go out and constantly preach the word to people and constantly be telling them stuff, you know. And it's like that story I told about the shipwrecked guy, you know, the missionary that was shipwrecked. And, you know, when he was on this island, you know, he was with the natives for all these years. And about 10 years later, a ship happened to find that island again and went into that island. And this missionary got out and they said, started telling the people, we want to tell you about Jesus, you know, about God and all this kind of stuff. They said, oh, we know him. And they said, what do you mean you know him? They said, well, we know
him. He's right over there.
They said, you want to meet him? And they took him over to this guy who was a missionary, had lived with him for years, you know. And they said he didn't really do a lot of witnessing to them, but he lived a life where he helped people and he loved people and he right. showed them the love of God. And they said, we know him, you know. And that's more important than preaching somebody a sermon, because a lot of times I have seen young Christians, I've been out in stores and stuff and seen young Christians who worked in a store go over and try to witness to somebody else in the store.
That's so wrong.
And they were wet behind the ears, you know what I mean? They hadn't really walked with the Lord any time at all, you could tell. And those guys would turn them upside down and inside out, you know, and have them walking away doubting their own faith. You know, you right. could see it. But, you know, if they had just shown them that there was a difference in their life, right. you know, before, and it's okay to tell them, you know, that, hey, I got saved or whatever, and, you know, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior or whatever. But to start trying to convert everybody you run into, mm-hmm. it's a big mistake, because a lot of times you make a bigger mess mm-hmm. than what you do if you just mm-hmm. love people and treat them the way they should be treated and are decent to people. You know, God lets it. He lets His light shine. You know, in that sense. Now there is people He's called to do that preaching and stuff, and go out and witness to people. You know. But let your life witness. Let your light so shine that men will see what? Your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Mm-hmm. What good works? Well, you treat them decent. You treat them the way you want to be treated. You know, you show them love. You show them kindness. You help them when they need help. You know, you do the things that the Lord would want you to do, you know. And that's so much more important than somebody trying to get somebody out there and you got them by rote trying to say this certain thing, and boy, if you'll tell them this, they'll get saved. Well, no, they won't. They will if that's what the Lord's telling you to tell them, you know. But so many times, you know, young Christians, boy, I tell you, they send them out to try to get them witnessing, and half the time they end up walking away doubting their own salvation after it's over with. Because what's it say? The children in this generation are wiser than what?
Children
of light. Mm-hmm. Why is that? It's because the children of light haven't come to the realization of let your light so shine that men see the good works and glorify your Father. And good works is not, like I say, it's not you outdoing stuff, but it's you being something in front of them. That's what it mounts out to, really.
I remember so well a guy that I used to work with. Mm-hmm. And he was a rootin' tootin', you know, hard living guy from down in Kentucky or wherever. And word got around that he got saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna say where, but they actually gave him a list of things he had to do in that week after he got saved.
Mm-hmm.
One was to share that they got saved with 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that he came in to the office, and I was in there working, and he just kind of hung around. It was just very uneasy. He says, I got saved the other night. And I said, well, that's just wonderful, Boyd, you know, and he says, I feel real good. And I said, you know, I'll never forget the day it happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's the beginning of a whole new life for me.
Right.
Something like that.
And you know, that was the best thing you could have done, is you just encouraged him in his salvation of where he was right then, you know, rather than try to let me convert this guy over into this or into that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
goodness.
Yeah, and instead of going, oh, that's great, now if you just do this, and let me
stay
tell you
away
about
from
this,
those folks.
And let me tell you about this, and let me tell you about that.
Well, when I got saved, I had already gotten into the Word some, you know, and I was working a mill crime, and I didn't go in there and tell people I got saved. But word got around, and I started having people from different denominations come to me, you know, and I'll never forget, this one guy come over to me, and he says, you know, and what they would usually say was, they'd say something like, well, watch out for the Pentecostals, or watch out for the Baptists, or watch out for this, watch out for that, whichever, they were something else,
yes,
telling you that. Be careful about those guys. You
they
know,
didn't say, watch out for me.
Instead of saying we're all brothers in Christ, you know, and glad you got saved, brother. But this one guy's standing, he's telling me all this stuff, and I'm standing there and listening. I'm saying, and I just said, brother, I said, I don't know about all that. I said, but I just sort of feel like this. And I started telling him some things about how I felt in the Lord, you know. And he looked at me and he says, well, that's in the book of James. Well, I hadn't read the book of James yet, you know. But he who inspired the book of James was dwelling inside of me, you know. So, you know, that's the thing. What's it say? Take no thought for what you'll say in that self-same hour. I'll give you
the utterance. Right?
The utterance, see, right. And God will do that, you know. And you don't have to learn some little prose that you're going to say every time you run up to somebody to witness to them or something. Witness to them by your life, and then if God opens the door for you to talk to them a little bit, go ahead and talk to them.
There was one guy, I got to say this quick, there was one guy down at work that was such a calm, he was a calming effect on me, and he ran a machine that was pretty dangerous. Well, he would not talk to anybody unless the machine was off. Because, like Oscar said, something could happen.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, but the one thing, I remember what he said to me. He says, Clyde, he said, I hear you know the Lord. I go, yeah. He said, can I ask you a question? I go, sure. Now, he's an older guy. But I valued older people. I mean, I guess that was one of the reasons my mom was so much older than everybody else. I had a mom, and everybody else thought she was my grandma. Well, anyway, the whole thing was, this guy was older, and he said this. He said, won't you go home and look up and see when they opened the roof and lowered the guy down? He said, whose faith healed that man? See, he was teaching me. He was teaching me first, you know. Go look it up. Go look it up.
Right.
So I looked it up, and I came back the next day. And he's over there, and you can see he's just waiting for me to say something. I said, well, it wasn't his faith.
Right.
He goes, "That's right." I said, "Jesus looked up and said, 'Let it be to him according to your faith.'" Mm-hmm. And I said, and to me, this was tremendous, a tremendous thing. I mean, I had heard this before, but I am now hearing the Spirit say, "Don't you think the men that had enough faith to carry his body up onto the roof, remove that roof and lower him down, knew that something was about to happen?" Mm-hmm. He said, "They already had a visitation. They had already had, they were having a visitation as they were carrying him." Yeah. They knew, he didn't know, but they knew. But the whole thing is, isn't it true about all of us? The Lord always knows. He always knows what we have need of before we pray. But I'm telling you, that inspired me, and me and that guy got along so good because he didn't talk to me a lot, but when he talked to me, it was all understanding and wisdom. And it wasn't no push on you. Mm-hmm. He said, "Go look that up." Because he wanted me to get it from the book. Mm-hmm. And if you get it from the book, I'll tell you what, you got it from God.
Well, who do you think put that into his head? Of all the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought that was tremendous.
I had a young Christian ask me one time, "Has the Lord ever dealt with you about slipping my mind, so."
I can't remember either. Yeah. I've heard you say that before.
Yeah. But anyway, he said, he did say to me, he says, "Has the Lord ever dealt with you about perfect will of God,"
yeah,
is what he said.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well," I said, "no." And I gave him the religious answer. I said, "Well, I know there's the perfect will of God, and I believe there's an acceptable will of God. And I said, I believe there's a permissive will of God, you know." I said, "But no, he hasn't really ever dealt with me about that." And so, see, I shouldn't have even said any of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I went home, and I started looking at that scripture. And I could show you, I don't have my old Bible, I could show you that page of my Bible is yellow from my sweat
hand,
and
yeah,
reading it and reading it and reading it. And it's his good will, his acceptable will, and his perfect will. And boy, God gave me a message on that, and it was out of, what do you say, out of the mouth of babes, because this was a young Christian said that to me.
Sure.
He just asked me a question, you know. Well, boy, that stirred something in me, and the Lord taught me all about the three aspects of his will, you know. But it's neat how God does that. He really does.
He uses somebody to stir you up.
Yeah, he does. That's just like what Clive was saying, you know.
Oh, Mike, do you want to close this in the word?
Oh, yeah. Lord, thank you for an opportunity again to, Father, just to speak of your word. And, Father, thank you for teaching us. And thank you for Kat doing this for every week. And,
yeah,
Lord, we just want to give you all the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.